The Thin Red Line marks the return to Hollywood of filmmaker Terrence Malick. The director of Badlands and Days of Heaven left Hollywood fed up nearly two decades ago. Now he's assembled a cast of stars and unknowns for his new movie, which is based on the James Jones war novel. Our film critic John Powers has a review.
Terrence Malick's adaptation of The Thin Red Line is thrilling, frustrating, and utterly distinctive. A metaphysical war movie whose opening line asks, "What is this war at the heart of nature?" It tells the story of Charlie Company, which is fighting on Guadalcanal one hill at a time. Some of the soldiers cower. Others go mad, while still others, a lot of them, simply dash across the screen and die. The story centers on five vivid faces. There's Private Bell, played by Ben Chaplin, who's obsessed with memories of his wife back home. There's the decent Captain Staros, played by Elias Koteas, who's in constant conflict with the bullying Colonel Tall, that's Nick Nolte, because they have contrary attitudes about sacrificing the men. Above all, there's a spiritual debate between cynical Sergeant Welsh, he's Sean Penn, and the constantly AWOL Private Wit, played by Jim Caviezel, who sees the glory in nature. The two dispute the meaning of existence, as when Welsh offers his basic philosophical axiom.
In this world, a man himself is nothing. And there ain't no world but this one.
You're wrong there, Top. I've seen another world. Sometimes I think it was just my imagination.
Well, and you've seen things I never will.
It's not surprising that Malick would make his moral beacon a runaway soldier. After all, he's Hollywood's most famous AWOL, a genius on the run. When it was announced that this legend was making a new movie, famous actors lined up, but so did worrying questions. Could this visionary still make a movie after 20 years? Would he still be Terrence Malick? The answer is yes. The Thin Red Line is an absolutely personal film, from Malick's customary fondness for beautiful young male heroes to the way he portrays inner transformation by the deliberate burning of property. Never one to worry about the audience, he adopts a boldly avant-garde storytelling style in which characters appear and reappear, often without explanation. And yet the movie holds us and moves us. We feel the terror of battle and the loneliness of being a soldier. John Toll's photography is dazzling, without being prettified. Hans Zimmer's score has a burrowing melancholy, and Malick wins some amazing performances. Nolte's bellowing Tall, Chaplin's love-struck Bell, whose face has a silent movie expressiveness, and Penn's Welsh, a restrained piece of acting that's his best in years. Malick's one of the handful of filmmakers whose work contains a vision of life. This is both a down-and-dirty movie where men fight in the mud, and a meditation on the endless struggle between darkness and light in all of nature. The movie begins with a sinister crocodile sliding into water and ends with a life-affirming image of a plant growing from a rock. From start to finish, the screen is suffused with the natural world, light shining through trees, wounded birds, cobras slithering among the soldiers. Malick is suggesting that animals and men and even rocks are part of a huge oversoul. At the beginning of the film, the AWOL wit has a vision of utopian harmony when he hides out among the beatific Melanesian people. This vision lets him see life more deeply than others. He's kinder than anyone to the terrified Japanese POWs. And it leads him in the end to become Malick's very own Prince Mushkin, a Christ figure whose seeming naivete is actually wisdom. Still, this attempt to evoke the transcendent is far from perfect. Malick's use of the beautiful, smiling Melanesians is corny and retro, as are the relentlessly lovely flashbacks to Bell's wife, who starts resembling a woman from a tampon commercial. But these are only local failings. Far more damaging is the movie's editing style, which tries to cobble together an unruly story by giving us several characters' interior monologues. Most of these voiceovers are dreadful, overwritten, redundant, and as explicit as a bullet in the head. About halfway through, we want these voices to shut up and let the imagery take us to a new level of awareness. The trouble is, Malick's vision of life doesn't deepen or grow more complicated as the story progresses. He sees the world from such an abstract height that he obliterates history. Was there really no relevant difference between the values that the Japanese and the Americans were fighting for? And he ignores the kind of undignified but all too human preoccupations that Jones wrote about so compellingly in his original novel. If The Thin Red Line could have incorporated all of this, it would have been a masterpiece. As it is, it's merely a film that anyone who cares about movies ought to see.
John Powers is film critic for Vogue.